Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Mully and Hall. Up early to start your day with Chicago sports talk.
We go ahead.
Time to catch you up on this morning's show so far.
Did Anthony Rizzo's tweet about the wisdom of a rain delay strike a chord with you? Is it time to question MLB's health and safety protocols?
It was Don Mattingly, the Marlins manager, who had pointed out to reporters about what Rizzo was complaining about, that there was nowhere to go during that rain delay during the exhibition game they played before the season started, where we think the spread got worse. And Mattingly said something to the effect, we've got a zillion guys in the dugout and there's no way we're social distancing. And Rizzo's tweet reminded everybody there can't possibly do that for hours during a rain delay. If you can make the rules up as you go along as it pertains to the rules of the game, you can change the rules in the midst of a pandemic for things that really matter, and that's health and safety.
Mully and Hall.
I get a kick out of you guys.
Taking you to work every morning from 5 to 9.
When will we see Nick Madrigal make his major league debut now that service time is no longer a consideration?
I really wonder who comes up first, if it's Mazzara or Madrigal. I'm not sure I understand why this is taking as long as it does, but I got to be honest with you, I'm not sure exactly now that the service time is over, why don't they just bring him up? I would imagine, David, that if they don't bring him up in the next two series, then he'll start at home. I don't know why you want to start at home with the guy. I don't know what the difference is. He's played in the ballpark. But if they're waiting, that would be a good spot to bring him up.
Mully and Hall.
What do you think of Madrigal?
Oh, I think he's magical.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We are broadcasting from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And we've had a lot of fun this morning. There's so much to talk about. Even a rain delay, even a cancellation, a suspension of a game becomes a story, David. How's that possible?
Well, because Anthony Rizzo kind of went to social media and was grousing a bit about having to spend 8 hours in a clubhouse without probably ideal social distancing conditions. And he pointed concerns. I don't know if the Cubs could have addressed that in a different way. I don't know if Rizzo could have probably been as forceful with his own, you know, team and front office and whoever is in charge of transporting players. Maybe could have handled it that way. Said, hey, let's get out of here earlier. Let's figure this out. But he went public and got a lot of attention and raised some really valid points about what to do during a rain delay during a pandemic.
No doubt about it. The Cubs host the Pirates tonight right here on The Score. 6:10, first pitch. Yu Darvish on the bump. Huge start for him. And everybody pushed back a day because of the rainout. It is the 31st day of July. This is the last day of July, if you can believe that. The Sox are at the Royals tonight. Keuchel on the bump, important for him. And we've got August hockey to look forward to. We have the Blackhawks dropping the biscuit in Edmonton against the Oilers on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, Corey Crawford sounded like a guy who is going to be in net for the Hawks, and you hope that they get off to a fast start. You hope that they build a little momentum, and you hope that they justify being included in this field. I think they're going to. I think they're going to come out looking sharp. I think they're going to come out playing fast, and I hope that Corey Crawford can stand on his head a couple times, because if you get a hot goaltender with the experience that he has, you can ride him a little bit.
Bubble Ball is here. Hoopsters Unite. It is a glorious day starting at 1:30 this afternoon and going on all day and all night. The NBA back yesterday, and some good matchups today. Great games last night.
Great way to start the NBA or restart the NBA, but it feels like a different season. It feels like the Olympics. You know, you kind of plopped in the middle of summer here. You're watching this elite basketball. We saw LeBron locked down defensively to win that game. We saw Anthony Davis look outstanding. Clippers look pretty good. And then in the first game, how fitting is it for the NBA? Rudy Gobert, the guy who is, I think Dustin called him patient zero. That's a really pretty good way to put in those terms. And he is the guy that scored the first basket and the last 2 points in a game that the Jazz came back to win.
We had talked before the restart, before the baseball season got going again, about how the White Sox were going to be a better team than we thought because they were going to have deeper pitching than a lot of teams, right? So we're a week into the season, and now the rotation looks a lot different than it did when you were imagining it before they started. Now, Michael Kopech obviously opted out, and it was said he did so for personal reasons. And we know that the story is out that he has filed for divorce from his pregnant wife. And that is obviously a huge blow. But he was also reluctant, reportedly, to come back because of concerns about ramping up as fast as you have to with his issue of coming off of Tommy John surgery. So weighing all that, he ended up opting out, and we thought he might help. And we know Carlos Rodon is back in the rotation. He, of course, coming back from Tommy John surgery. We've seen a lot of pitchers get injured, and unfortunately, the White Sox are not immune to it either. And Ronaldo Lopez is down with a tight shoulder. And Jimmy Lambert, and this is the one that I wanted to ask you about, because Jimmy Lambert has got a forearm issue, which is, that's a very scary idea for any pitcher, certainly a guy that's coming back from Tommy John surgery. And I guess my question would be, David, when you see Jimmy Lambert come go down to an injury while coming back from Tommy John, should that make the White Sox more reluctant to bring up a Dane Dunning? Do you want him to spend more time kind of building that arm up and worrying about it? Does it give you more appreciation for what Kopech was talking about and rumored to be concerned with? And I got to tell you, the other issue there would be, are you worried for Carlos Rodon? I mean, does this foretell some problem for all Tommy John guys?
Well, I think it's a fair question, and I think it's an understandable concern, just given the depth of the White Sox organization in terms of starting pitching that we thought they had, and now you're starting to see this kind of, it's not a trend yet, but I think it's definitely a valid point to make, you know, with Lambert. But I think each guy is wired differently, and we know that each athlete is in all the sports. We look at, you know, some guys are just more prone to injuries, and that's where they resist the idea of being injury prone. But you just wonder. I don't know if Carlos Rodon is got the same sort of tendency to be injured throughout his career or the same composition in terms of, you know, his forearm as Jimmy Lambert. It's certainly the concerns are going to be there for anybody who had this kind of procedure. But you look at the timetables. Rodon was done in May of 2019. Lambert was operated on in June of 2019, about a month later. And so he's a little bit fresher in terms of having been on the mend. Dunning was done in March, Molly. And I think that, you know, that was even a couple months before Rodon. And when it comes to Michael Kopech, I'm going to go with the fact that we're respecting his privacy. He opted out for concerns related to COVID and maybe some personal issues. I don't know if he can use the Tommy John surgery that he had in September of 2018 as an overriding factor that weighed on his mind. Maybe it did, I don't know that you see a lot of guys that get 2 years off after having Tommy John surgery to come back and feel right, but maybe that's what it takes. I guess in short, everybody heals differently. Everybody is wired differently. But if you're the Sox, I don't know if you can let that paralyze you in terms of your other, you know, your development clock for other prospects.
You know what might be the best news for the Sox? And I know this is going to sound crazy, but thus far, I believe Ross Detweiler has faced 15 batters without allowing a hit. And does he now jump to the next man up if anything were to happen
what?
To anybody in the rotation? I said it, and I'll ask the question.
The answer is absolutely. The answer is sometimes you get a guy who gets hot at whatever stage of his career, and you don't know if it's going to last, and this year it doesn't matter. What you're looking for is lightning in a bottle. You're catching a guy on a hot streak, and maybe Ross Detweiler can use his combination of craftiness and moxie and guile and all of those things that have made him sort of this unlikely success story of 2020 so far. Yeah, why not? I mean, Molly, who else are you going to turn to? I mean, it may not be more than just a start or two or maybe an appearance or two, but if he has got the hot hand, ride it.
I have to intercede here.
You
Ross
can.
Detweiler, come on. Did you guys watch last season?
He had the same thing.
He had two really good starts when he first joined the team, and then he fell off a cliff.
If Ronaldo comes back, then that solves some of the issue. But you've gone from having about nine starters to having, let's go through it, Giolito, Keuchel, Dylan Cease, Carlos Rodon, and then Gio now, right? That's your starting rotation. So who's next? You tell me. You know, Jimmy Lambert is not there. Kopech's not there. Right now, Ronaldo Lopez is not there. I mean, do you go to Dane Dunning? We just talked about this issue with the Tommy John thing and how it gives you a little bit of pause after what happened with Jimmy Lambert. Those guys, there's no month apart for them. So I'm just asking if he's the next man up. Why do you get?
Well, I think you have to ask the question. The guy has been hot. It's not because of his performance last year that you're asking that question. The context is that he has been effective in a limited, you know, role this year. In three games, he has not allowed a hit, and he's pitched five innings with four strikeouts and retired all 15 batters. So if that continues, obviously he represents an option, Mully, and I think it's a fair question. Here's where I thought you were also going to ask me, and I think this is where I would maybe – I don't want to contradict myself, but I do think that when you're talking about Ronaldo Lopez and when you bring him back and what the timing is, you can't ignore, I think, in light of everything I said earlier about the other guys and how everybody's different, I don't think you can ignore what's going on with your pitching staff in terms of health in rushing Ronaldo Lopez back or being very sensitive to his concerns if he feels anything in his arm because you can't afford another major setback like that in your organization.
Amen to that. 312-644-6767. It's all about the pitching, isn't it? For God's sake, Mully and Hall on the score.
You just recognize that this is personal for everyone, and you're just very respectful and supportive of that decision. And so, you know, both Matt and I, you know, talked to Eddie. We relayed that to Eddie. And, you know, Eddie's an important part of our team and our family, and we're going to welcome him back at the appropriate time. So I think you're just really supportive of these individual choices.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. That was Ryan Pace earlier in the week talking about Eddie Goldman opting out of the season and not a huge surprise, I suppose, the more you look into it when you start thinking about different people and different issues. And Eddie has opted out. Now, what makes that so significant maybe this morning is the idea that John Jenkins, who would be his nominal replacement since he's the backup, he has been moved to the the COVID-19 reserve list, and there are now three Bears players on it. And, you know, listen, you just hope that everyone is okay, all of the people that end up on that, anybody that gets this disease. It's horrific to think about the virus and what it's done to different people. I don't know if you saw Harrison Barnes. He talked about it was in his household. He had it. I think it was his mother-in-law had it and his wife. And all three of them had completely different reactions. And apparently his wife's was the worst, and really a very difficult thing, kind of like Tommy Hadavi described to us. And you know, you pray that doesn't happen to people, that if indeed they get this virus, it is it's an easier road for them to hoe. And I don't know how much that scares you or how much that worries you when you think about a big defensive tackle. And here we are really starting August, and the guy's got COVID-19.
Well, here we are. We are conditioned as a sports kind of culture to look at these guys being placed on injured lists and thinking in terms of, well, he'll be back in a week. He'll be back in two weeks. Oh, that's a month injury. That's a hamstring. That's a strained back. That's a pec. I don't think you can do it. Actually, I know you can't. When a guy goes on the COVID list, you don't know if it's going to be just, okay, he's going to come back because after two negatives, he's eligible to return, or as you point out, it doesn't discriminate. It doesn't care how big and strong you are. The virus doesn't care, you know, what you have achieved or how important you might be to your respective team. It's going to affect each person and each individual differently. You hope the best for John Jenkins, but yeah, he's a guy that the Bears clearly, if healthy, will count on to try to fill the void. Not the only guy, but it becomes a matter of attrition, and you know, NFL teams are going to be dealing with this all over the league, and the Bears are no different. So you lose Eddie Goldman. I think people have been, at least publicly, respectful of his decision, Mully. I think it came as a big surprise, though. I don't think that the Bears can conceal that sort of element of it. It wasn't something you expected necessarily. You started hearing whispers, and then you got the news. Be surprised if he's the only one? Will you be surprised if there are, do you expect more players?
Oh, yeah, I really do. And I think the closer we get to actually I think people are hesitant. People are waiting to get some information. They are not necessarily trusting the information that we're getting. You want more of the health experts that have absolutely no alignment politically to just talk about this and to give the best recommendations instead of people. It's almost like, to me, it's almost like listening to a politician talk about a COVID-19 is almost like listening to a football coach talk about injury. Right. Oh, you know, yes. He's got a kidney. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Quick dialysis. Yeah. He'll be fine. You know, you don't ever get the real bottom line as to what the difficulty is, or how you get a lot of optimism and you don't get a lot of realism. And sometimes you get kind of pseudoscience and you don't get a lot of truth. So I'm interested in what the professionals have to say. Always fascinated when you have somebody on that has a great insight into it. And, you know, I got to tell you, I told my kids about the pig pen idea and in what the mask does. I thought that was excellent. A great way of kind of painting a picture for people. And I really appreciated that.
Well, explain that, because we talked to Dr. Sag the other day, and he used that as kind of a way to think about the virus and it spreading. And Pigpen is in the Charlie Brown cartoon having this sort of cloud around him.
Yeah, Dr. Sag is an infectious disease expert, works out of UAB. He's a really respected researcher in AIDS. He is a guy that has had COVID-19. We had a long conversation with him about that. He and his son, who is also a physician, they went to New York to help out when the big big surge was going on and things were in really dire straits. And his son somehow contracted the virus, and the two of them drove back to Alabama together, and that's how he got it, and he got through it, and he talked about, you know, he's seeing other, different people respond in different ways, and he said that when you think, you know, he was talking about the use of a mask, and he said that you have to think about the disease like you're looking at Pigpen. Like, you know, it's a great visual because every little kid has seen that cartoon at some point, Charlie Brown. And basically, if he wears a mask and you wear a mask, you're taking that cloud of dust that walks with him and you're keeping it. You're, I guess, with a mask, it's five times less likely that you will get it than if you don't wear masks. And I mean, both parties, right? You can wear a mask and still be in trouble if the other guy's not wearing a mask. So part of your citizenship is wearing a mask for other people. And that to me is a really good idea. And I thought the way that he described that really kind of put all of it in perspective in terms of how this thing is transmitted.
Yes, absolutely. What are you emitting on a regular basis? And it's not just common courtesy and being considerate to your neighbor, Molly. It's the law in many states now.
Yes.
And so mask up. And I'm curious to what you think of, like, you're exactly right. We need to kind of pay attention to not necessarily the coaches or the athletes when they talk about the virus. I mean, some of their answers are somewhat insightful and often amusing. But when a guy like Dr. Alan Sills, who was the NFL's chief medical officer, he talks to the media often, he talked to the Houston Chronicle yesterday, and he said, "I remain cautiously optimistic because we spent a tremendous amount of time and energy with these protocols and preparing, trying to mitigate risk the best we can." He continued to kind of paint a very positive picture for the NFL to kind of have its 16-game season. When you see stuff like that, Molly, do you interpret that as a scientist being genuine and sharing and disseminating information that is valuable, or do you look at it as spin for a league that needs it?
Yeah, I am suspicious about it, David, unfortunately. And I don't know all of his credentials, and certainly they're a lot better than mine, but I do think that football in particular is a sport. It's difficult to imagine that we get to a point where people are hitting and people, you know, to me, it's all about trust. And I think we're seeing that in baseball, right? They're going to do this investigation into the Marlins to find out exactly how this happened. And by the way, they're threatening fines and suspensions, which means they have an idea of how this happened. And again, I don't know how big the group was, but if people are out partying, then you're letting down the whole industry. And you're dealing with a lot more people in the NFL. You're dealing with a lot more issues. You look at this Lou Williams thing. You know, this is a guy that had to leave the bubble of the NBA and, you know, was ready to come back in, but there were photos released of him that he was out at a gentleman's club that apparently has amazing chicken wings. Like, they're renowned. Johnny Manziel recommends them. So I don't care how good the wings are. It's about proximity to people. It's about not masking up. And you're letting down everybody in the NBA if you're lying and you come back in and you're going to do regular protocol instead of the amount of time that's needed. So now you're missing games. And you can use a guy, and he's not there for you. So what does that tell you? And he got caught. Whatever he wanted to do in a gentleman's club, whether it was all about the wings or not, is irrelevant to me. So I just think you have to be truthful and honest, and you have to do, you know, I loved what I heard yesterday from Nico Horner, who said basically about the first road trip of the year that I left the hotel room to go to the ballpark. Basically, I was in the hotel room the whole time. Unfortunately, that's kind of what you have to do if you want this season to go through and end and the whole bit.
And the Cubs have done a tremendous job of making that point clear to all their players. Yep. And I think teams that do that will have the most amount of success. Now, in the NFL, it's a greater challenge because you do have, as we all know, you know, 53 guys on a roster during the season. You have more on the practice squad. The question is, do you think that will be easier or more difficult to contain when you also factor in the idea, okay, Major League Baseball is not in a bubble, so they are traveling. In the NFL, if you travel, it's only once a week. You're just going out of town, and you have eight road games, so you're traveling eight times a season. Does that mitigate it somewhat because of the fact that you're not going to be leaving your home base where you have maybe more ability to control, what your players do and how comfortable they are in their own homes?
Yeah, I think it's the same answer, David, which is, provided we all are living in trust of each other and we're all concerned about not just ourselves and what our immediate needs might be in terms of chicken wings, but we're thinking about the impact it has on other people, I think that then you'll be okay, or you'll be closer to okay. The problem, once again, is I read the NFL is investing $73 million in testing. So if you don't have it, if you can, pass a number of tests and you feel like there's not going to be a lot of transmission, maybe you can play football. But the problem with football is if you do have it, if someone does have it, that's infecting people. I don't know how you avoid that given the nature of the sport.
And the bigger question will be, when do you know, how will you know that you have it? Because if we have found examples of guys who test negative and then they find out later, after their most recent test, they contracted it, they go on the field, they spread it. These are the things that are impossible to anticipate and really difficult to answer. You just have to go again, on a day-to-day, week-by-week basis, and be willing to adapt and adjust.
All right, we're going to talk to Steve Conroy next. We're going to get a preview of the Blackhawks, and are they ready to pull off an upset? Not a huge upset, by the way. If you look at the numbers in Vegas, a lot of people supporting the Blackhawks. I don't know if they're a public team or if people have some plans for an upset here, and I think it's a good series for the Blackhawks. We'll break it down next with Steve Conroy, Mully and Hall on the Score.
Got years of experience and Stanley Cups and that pedigree that come playoff time, it's nice to have around. So certainly that'll be somewhat of a void, but at the same time, we got a bunch of other guys who've won cups and know what it takes, and it'll be up to them to show the way.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The second season starts on Saturday, and that's Jeremy Colliton talking about Corey Crawford, at least initially, and then all the guys that have won. And we are delighted to welcome in Steve Conroy. He joins us on the Alphamonte Ford Hotline. Alphamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Steve, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Steve.
Michael. Hey, David. Doing well, being safe, and I hope you guys are too.
Thank you, buddy. Yeah, we're trying. Very curious. I heard you say on the playoff special on NBC Sports Chicago, you talked about how the goalie position is 80% mental, and you talked about the pressure that Corey Crawford is used to. And, I love that idea because obviously physically it's going to be really hard to ramp up as quickly as he has to after his battle with COVID-19. What do you expect from him? He's going to start, right? And he looked sharp enough, I suppose, in the period and a half that we saw.
Yeah, I thought he looked real solid. He's got a lot riding on this. I mean, not only just his pride, because he's a proud athlete, and he certainly doesn't want to be embarrassed, and he's not going to be embarrassed, but he's only basically had five practices under his belt as of today. So he's going to have a couple more before things get real. And he's also got the pressure of, being an unrestricted free agent. So he's got a lot of eyes on him. Obviously, he wants to sign in Chicago. They know what they have in Corey. So, if anyone's capable of pulling this off with very little practice and being at almost his best, I think it would be Corey. He is a very thoughtful guy, a very cerebral goalie, and, he's a student of the game, and he thinks things through. So, not an ideal situation, but listen, it's the hand he was dealt. It was the hand the Blackhawks were dealt. I guess now he knows that he can't catch COVID, at least for the next 6 or 12 or 18 months, whatever it is. And, he's got that he's got the experience of having won some cups. And listen, he was in a pretty tough situation back in 2015 where, you know, in the first round of the playoffs against Nashville, you know, he gets yanked. He was not playing very well. He gets yanked. The Scott Darling came in, and of course we all know that story. And it wasn't before the end of the series in game six where he was thrust back in midway through a game. And listen, that was a real tough situation to be in, and he played very well. So I've got a lot of confidence in Corey Crawford. I think the team does too.
Steve, watching the exhibition against the Blues, the one thing that stood out to me besides watching Crawford closely was how good Kirby Dach looked and how fresh his legs seemed after the layoff. He looked like a difference maker, an impact guy that can help on special teams as well. What did you see on the ice among the players that you think, anything that will you can apply to how they could impact the game against the Oilers tomorrow?
Well, yeah, Kirby Dach, I think, is a great example because, you know, David, he's just, you know, 19 years of age, and it's amazing to think that they're going to be relying on him a lot. And I know he's playing on the third line, and third lines typically get a little more shelter than your top two, but he is killing penalties, so he's going to get a little more ice time. And we only saw him killing penalties a little bit during the regular season. So, you know, that's going to be a little different for him. I thought Calvin DeHaan looked really good on the back end. You know, we know Duncan Keith and his resume and what he's done for the Blackhawks. But, you know, what you need is you need, you know, six defensemen who are capable of playing minutes. And Calvin DeHaan certainly showed that. I thought he had a real good game against St. Louis Blues. I know he ended up taking a couple of penalties, but boy, he was real good when he was out there. Kubalik, amazing what he's accomplished this year, and he just seemed to pick up right where he left off with a couple of goals. And, of course, Patrick Kane was Patrick Kane. So, you know, all in all, I thought the whole team played well. But, you know, there's that analogy, and I used it in that you know, kind of a preview show that we did on NBC Sports Chicago of, you know, your first time going out golfing, and you go to the range. And you hit your 7-iron off the mat, and you're just striping it. Everything's going down the middle, and you pull out your driver, and you hit it straight, and everything feels good. It really doesn't mean anything. You know, you feel good about yourself, which is good, and it gives you a little bit of confidence. But, you know, once things start up on the weekend and we're into the playoffs, you can throw that all out the window, and it's certainly a new season. But I think the thing the Blackhawks have going for them, too, is this is a second life for them. They weren't going to make the playoffs. You know, mathematically, they had a chance, but they weren't going to make the playoffs had the regular season played out the way it was supposed to. And they're rested, they're raring to go, and, you know, anything can happen.
I got to tell you, I got a huge kick out of Duncan Keith, who was 37, talking about the fact that Adam Boqvist is closer in age to his 7-year-old son than to him. I mean, if that doesn't capture what the Blackhawks, where they're at right now with, you know, a veteran beyond veteran and a 19-year-old rookie team together, I don't know what does.
Yeah, you're right. It doesn't make us all feel old. I mean, you know, here's a couple of guys who, you know, they forged a really nice relationship. They've become pretty close. They hang out a lot on the road together. And, you know, I had an opportunity to watch them during this training camp 2.0 down at Fifth Third Bank Arena and where the Blackhawks held their kind of mini training camp. They played really well together. And it just seems like, you know, there's an understanding now that, listen, Dunk's an offensive guy, but he realizes that Adam Boqvist probably has a little more jump to his step and maybe a little more offense to his game. So he's giving him the green light and he's telling the kid to go. He'll cover up for him. He'll be back there. So if you get an opportunity and you think there's a chance that you might be able to make something happen, go for it. So, you know, the experience of having won, you know, a Norris Trophy and won three Stanley Cups and that Duncan Keith has done, he's going to be able to pass a lot of that wisdom on to an Adam Boqvist. And listen, there's other guys too. You know, Connor Murphy's played, I think it's 444 regular season games. He has yet to play in a Stanley Cup playoff game. So,
wow.
You know, come this weekend, it'll be his first kick at the can too. So it's great to have that experience and guys who have been through, you know, those battles and that war. And that's, you know, Blackhawks have a handful of those guys.
And so do the Oilers. And I think with such dynamic playmakers, Steve, I expect it to be high scoring, at least at first, until maybe the timing gets down and guys get used to being back on the ice. The Hawks have to stay out of the box. I think their power play has to be as consistent. It looked really good the other night. How do you see this series going, and what do you think is the key?
Yeah, the first couple of games I might be betting the over too, David. I think we are going to see some offense. And I mean, the Blackhawks really shut it down against St. Louis, but you know, that game meant absolutely nothing to the St. Louis Blues. So I think you hit on everything. The goaltending's got to be solid. You know, you need that, whether it's regular season or playoffs. In fact, for the Blackhawks, it's got to be a little better because, you know, you got those two guys up front in Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, who may have been the number one and number two players in the NHL when it was shut down in mid-March. Your special teams have to be better. And, you know, the Blackhawks had two power play goals against St. Louis. They went 2-for-4, and they looked really good on their penalty kill. I don't know that they allowed more than one shot over the four power plays that St. Louis had. And, you know, they got to limit chances against. And, you know, the NHL keeps some stats now about, you know, not only chances, but high danger chances. And yet the Blackhawks led the NHL in high danger chances against. Those are chances that come within about 20 feet of your net, whether it's a 2-on-1 or a breakaway or a wide open look. And so that's got to change. So, you know, I think if you're going to look at three areas, goaltending, special teams, and just limiting chances, that's what they've got to do. And, you know, they did a real good job against St. Louis. St. Louis had 7 scoring chances. Those weren't even high danger chances, 7 scoring chances the whole game. So if they can keep that up, that'll be great. But it's going to be tough because, you know, Connor McDavid, not only all that skill, but, boy, you'll see his speed. And, you know, I know the Blackhawks have not won a playoff round since 2016. I think the Edmonton Oilers have only been in the playoffs once in the last 11 years. So there's a lot of motivation there, and those guys are going to be amped and juiced and you know, Blackhawks D. And it's not just the D. It's everyone who's on the ice when those guys are on the ice. They've all got to be ready.
I'm very curious because I read that their power play was number one in the league, and their kill was number two. So that's pretty good when you look at special teams. How do you – avoid picking up penalties? You know, we know they have to stay out of the box, but how do you do that when a guy is flying by you like McDavid can do?
Yeah, good question, Molly. And I've heard Jeremy Colliton kind of touch on it a couple of times, and it's a real tell for referees when your legs aren't moving and your stick's kind of in a guy's midsection or around his hands. You got to keep your legs moving. And I think Jeremy calls it checking with your legs. You just always make sure you're not gliding out there. You're not, you're not getting towed by the other guy. And that at least cuts down on a lot of the stick infractions. Now, listen, things happen really quickly. And I know as a defenseman, sometimes you get your stick in a position where maybe it shouldn't be. And it might be between a guy's legs and he's crossing over and you're going to trip him. And that's just a penalty. But you don't mind those types of penalties. You hate the lazy penalties where you see a guy behind a guy and he's maybe 3 or 4 feet trailing and his feet aren't moving and you see his stick buried in the guy's midsection. So, you know, those are the kinds of things you can control. I mean, game happens at such a fast pace that, it's hard to not sometimes take penalties. But if your feet aren't moving and you end up with a 2-minute penalty, you're going to get some, you know, ugly looks when you come out of the penalty box, especially if a goal scored. But if you kill a penalty and you make that long skate back to the bench, you feel shame.
Hey, Steve, thanks a ton. We appreciate it. Great catching up
with
Steve.
All right, guys, you too. Thanks.
That's Steve Conroy. You have to feel shame. That is awesome. This is going to be a lot of fun. Did you see the Blackhawks are doing a series of viewing parties in Schaumburg?
Yeah.
The drive-in type thing. Yeah, that is a great idea. I'm all over that.
It is a great idea. I prefer to watch hockey, I guess, either if I'm not there than in my living room. But I think it is a great idea.
It's a great idea.
For people that can't, yeah. I'm looking forward
to
tomorrow in this series.
The only one I could actually go to would be tomorrow, and that's going to be at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So the 10:30 at night ones, that would be awesome, but I can't drive home from Schaumburg.
It's a little early for popcorn, you know? If you go to the drive-in, you can't go to the drive-in without popcorn. You got to make the popcorn ahead of time. You got to have all the butter on it. Then you don't want to do that in the afternoon.
What you don't want is to be stranded at the drive-in, branded of a fool. All right, we're going to bring in Ron. Oh, that's awful.
What Greece. Will they say Monday at school?
Yeah. Ron Coomer.
What are you guys talking about?
Next. You ever see Grease?
Come on.
We're going musical theater on you.
Sandy, can't you see?
A baby.
Baby.
It's Mully and Haw on the score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.